Welcome to the Crisis Watch podcast, the International Crisis Group's monthly update of the most significant situations of conflict and potential conflict around the world that have deteriorated or improved over the past month. I'm Conor Walsh, reporting from Crisis Group's headquarters in Brussels. In November 2010, nine actual or potential conflict situations around the world deteriorated, one improved. Tensions surged on the Korean Peninsula as two South Korean civilians and two Marines were killed when North Korea fired dozens of artillery shells at Yongpyeong Island, where South Korea was conducting military drills. The attack was condemned by the international community. Seoul announced new rules of engagement with Pyongyang, along with more troops on islands close to the north, and began combined military exercises with the US in the Yellow Sea. Haiti's presidential elections ended in confusion. Amid reports of fraud, several opposition candidates called for the vote to be annulled, and thousands of people took to the streets in protest. International observers from the Organization of American States said the vote is valid despite serious irregularities, but tensions remain high. Meanwhile, the cholera epidemic continued to worsen and spread to half the country's districts, including the capital, Port-au-Prince. Almost 2,000 people have died since the start of the outbreak in October. There were deadly clashes in the streets of Côte d'Ivoire's capital Abidjan ahead of a runoff election on the 28th of November. The participants were supporters of the two presidential candidates, incumbent Laurent Gbagbo and former Prime Minister Alassane Ouattara. Delays in announcing the preliminary results of the runoff have increased tensions between the two camps. We've identified this as a conflict risk alert due to fears of further violence in the coming month. In Guinea, preliminary results declared the opposition leader Alpha Condé as the winner of the second round presidential election on the 7th of November. That sparked 3 days of violence, resulting in at least four deaths and hundreds injured. The UN and rights groups expressed concern over the excessive use of force against civilians by the security forces. The situation also deteriorated in Burundi, Central African Republic, about which we'll hear more later, Madagascar, Egypt and Western Sahara. You can read about those in the full version of Crisis Watch online at crisisgroup.org. The situation improved in Niger. Results from the referendum on the last day of October showed 90% of voters in favour of the new constitution. That paves the way for elections in January and a return to civilian rule. Now we go to the Central African Republic. Our analyst there is Edward Dolby, and he joins us from Nairobi. Edward, what happened in CAR in November?
Towards the beginning of the month, the CAR had a relative stability in terms of security across the country. However, mid-month, the United Nations mission in Chad and the Central African Republic left Birao, the town in the far northeastern Vakaga Prefecture, which gave rebel groups in the northeast greater leeway and gave them the opportunity to launch an attack on Birao.
Who were the rebel groups?
The group which carried out this attack is the Convention of Patriots for Justice and Peace, otherwise known as the CPJP, led by Abdoulaye Hissène. In fact, in the past 2 to 3 weeks, they'd been gathering north of Birao, just over the border in Chad, and had been gathering alongside Chadian rebels.
So tell us more about the attack, please, Edward.
On the 24th of November, that's last Wednesday, this group of Central African rebels and Chadian rebels attacked Birao. They targeted the center of town and the military base in the center, as well as taking control of the air base some 12 kilometers outside town. During the fighting, at least four Central Africans were killed, including civilians.
So what's going to happen next?
I think there's still a high risk of violence in the northeast, not least because the involvement of Chadian rebels provoked N'Djamena and the Chadian army to get involved. On the 25th, Chadians bombed the area around Birao, and then on Tuesday, on the 30th of November, Chadian troops from the east, reportedly from Abéché, came down towards Birao and retook the town from the rebels. So I think the involvement of Chadian rebels has really seen an escalation in the level of violence that we've normally been led to expect in the northeast. And the situation at the moment with the Chadian troops occupying the town is untenable. When they leave, it's clear that the CPJP will still want to put pressure on the government in order to try and squeeze out of them either money or indeed positions in the government. and it should be on high alert.
What are the risks?
The other risks, security risks in the Northeast, two spring to mind. Those are possible ethnic tensions. There are other armed groups in the Northeast, each dominated by certain ethnic groups. And in September and October, we saw attacks by the Lord's Resistance Army in the area, including an attack on Birao itself on the 10th of October. So I think we should be very aware that there are still great risks of violence in the Northeast and in the Birao area in particular.
Could these threats spread to other parts of the Central African Republic?
Yes, I think the CPJP, there have been reported attacks of this rebel group further south in the east, in the Waka prefecture. I think it's difficult to tell at the moment how much control the leadership of the CPJP in the Northeast has over these disparate elements. But it's still clear that they do have the ability to cause violence and to displace people and to put many civilian lives at risk.
That was Edward Dalby, our Central Africa analyst, speaking to us from Nairobi. I'm Connor Walsh, and you've been listening to the monthly Crisis Watch podcast from the International Crisis Group. We monitor about 70 situations of current or potential conflict around the world. For more information and the full print version of Crisis Watch, visit www.crisisgroup.org.